That, the only change, the only with that is the one that talks about writ of mandamus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. The other thing would be to adopt all three sections of this document, committee members, which the top part deals with the fees, 50% that was just discussed. And I'm not sure, could you, just for the record, make sure we understand what these changes under the dash three amendments title would be?
Yes, Senator. Down at the bottom, there's an amendment to the statute governing when LUBA can reverse a local government denial. And currently it says they can reverse and award attorney's fees if it's found that the local government has acted outside their discretion under the Comprehensive Plan and Land Use Regulations. We would add to that that they can also reverse and award attorney's fees if it can be shown that the local government's denial was for the primary purpose of avoiding the 120-day requirements. And then the new section above that is to allow LUBA to accept evidence off the record in considering an accusation like that, because we feel that in attempting to prove that case, there may be evidence that is not in the hearing record. There may be correspondence or affidavits from witnesses who overheard local planners talking about this or whatever the case may be, but felt that it would be best to allow evidence off the record.
All right, so the dash twos, which is the top section of the bill, is essentially the agreement on 50% fee refund.
Correct.
The bottom section, the dash threes, is a way of putting some teeth into that agreement.
Right, something of a deterrent.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Cease.
I would move the adoption of the dash two, and I take it that these pencil changes, could I ask the staff to make clear what the pencil changes, what the actual language is?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cease, these were reviewed by Sue Hanna of Legislative Council, and those are her pencil marks. If you have some notation in the corner that indicates these were proposed by Kelly Ross, that's my writing. But the applicant is not liable in the second paragraph.
In both cases.
So
that's just a change, just language change.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I do move the adoption of the dash.
Okay. Thank you. While you're discussing the pencil changes, what about this one?
We're okay on that.
Scratch that off. There's a series of words to the right of the dash three amendment bold line. I can't really read it in mind, but those are not meant to have meaning on this, so they'll be ignored. Okay.
Mr. Chair, did you accept my motion?
I have been informed that Legislative Council believes that the dash twos and dash threes should be submitted as one package, and I'm not.
Well, I can do that, and if you accept that, I do have a question, and we can do that during discussion. I wanted to see, would be to ask the participants here, what is the issue that the city raised?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and can we have some more discussion from the.
I would draw it at this point.
Then, Mr. Chairman, and I would move the adoption of dash two and three as one.
Okay. I had done that, but I'm withdrawing at this point so we can hear this.
In any event, before we vote on that motion, now a joint motion from both senators, we'll hear from anybody else who wants to comment on these proposals. And while you're at it, just confirm that you agree with section one of the dash ones, the thing about writ of mandamus.
Refund. Second. Mr. Chair, committee members, I'm Philip Fell from the League of Oregon Cities. We are in agreement with the dash one amendments. I believe that, well, my county colleague is here and can make a comment on that.
Did you talk about that?
That's okay. We do need to change the site.
That's fine. Okay.
A concern that I have just come up with, and I'm sorry that I'm this late. We have worked, I think, pretty effectively in reaching an agreement here, is language that's, I have it in the engrossed version. here. It's, okay, I guess it's on the this copy. It's at the top, the First Amendment. The final line there says, "The applicant shall not be liable for any planning costs incurred subsequent to the payment of such fees or deposits." The concern is this, and that have you changed that? You aren't doing this? Incurred after the application. I'm sorry. It's the next paragraph where it says on page 7, "The applicant shall not be liable for any planning costs." Well, you've done it there, too. Did you take that language out?
Yeah.
So that language is out?
Right.
Mr. Chair, we got no problem at all. I'm and support that.
Okay, so you support the is not language?
Yeah, I'll tell you what my concern was, Mr. Chair. The language in the Hannon Gross bill says the applicant isn't liable for any planning costs incurred mm-hmm. after the application is mm-hmm. declared complete. The way applications are declared complete is you turn it into the planning department. They look to see if you have addressed each of the issues involved. If you had said no problem on transportation and checked that box, we would say you have addressed the transportation issue. It's complete. At public hearing, if it turns out there is a transportation issue and we need a study, I was afraid that this language would prevent us from telling the applicant that it looks like you weren't accurate here and we need more of a study to determine the actual impacts. Since Kelly has stricken that, I think we're... Oh, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. Yeah, it is a concern. And I don't think that's your intent.
Well, actually, it is.
It is your intent. Okay, then I think we do have a problem. I don't think that language ought to be in there. That would, I think, force cities to develop much more comprehensive requirements for applications. If you wanted to avoid any concern that you might need a number of studies if a problem or an issue is revealed later in the process after you have begun processing, I think that it would be possible that what we ought to do to protect ourselves against unanticipated costs would be to ask for that stuff right up front, make much more detailed requirements in an application. And I don't think we want to do that. I think that would make application process much more laborious. But I am concerned that there could be circumstances where issues are revealed at public hearing midway through the application process.
As I understand it, though, this paragraph would only kick in
if you go past 120
days. If you go past 120 days.
In the first place. The idea being, if they don't meet the 120 days, then they shouldn't be able to go back later and say, we're going to zap you for some other fees later.
Okay, however, the language says, the applicant is not liable for any planning costs incurred subsequent to the payment of such fees and deposits. And those are previously paid. They are paid early at the time of application, commonly, rather than at the time the 120-day period expires.
Mr. Chair, could I ask a question?
Senator Bryant.
Kelly, is your concern solely the 120 days? So if after the 120 days, it's discovered there is some additional cost because something new has come up, is it your intent then that there wouldn't be an additional cost?
Our intent, Senator Bryant, in writing this provision is that it's the practice of some local governments to, as we said before, is to require a deposit up front, and then there's a possibility of getting a bill at the end of the planning when you get your approval that being billed for costs above and beyond what your initial deposit was for. And so we wanted to discourage the situation where they might have gone past the 120 days and given you half of your deposit back, but you still get a bill at the end. We wanted to provide some incentive to getting the process wrapped up in 120 days. And if they went past it, that basically the applicant would have to pay no more than 50% of what they started with.
I'm sorry, I was talking with counsel and part of that, but I get.
Now, what we could do to alleviate Mr. Fell.
Let me finish. I think that it's important for the committee to understand that this line here on top of the dash twos there that says on page six, delete lines 5 through 8, that sub A follows a sentence that says, if a governing body does not take final action within 120 days, then these things happen. And so the city's concern about any planning costs for things that might happen in a hearing, those hearings should have taken place prior to the 120-day being expired. So the 120-day period, this clause here doesn't even kick in until the 120-day period has been missed. And so...
Okay, let me, Mr. Chair.
I agree with you that if it wasn't that way, and that's why I was pausing there, if it wasn't that way, then this thing wouldn't make sense to say that one application fee has to cover everything, because you might discover something the next week that raises a new issue that needed a different fee of some kind for some reason.
Okay, so what you're saying then, Mr. Chair, is you're assuring me that that it is not the case under this language, that if 40 days into the 120-day period, there's a public hearing, and it turns out you need a $30,000 planning study, and that study is conducted, yet we get to the 121st day, and there's not been final agreement, that this language does not require the city to pay half of that, of the $30,000 cost, even though they were incurred after the application was deemed complete and still within the 120-day period.
My understanding, my intent in this bill, and we can have Kelly confirm whether this is what he intends as the person that proposed this bill, and then we can, once we get a clear intent of what we want the bill to do, then we can vote on whether we like it or not. But my intent would be that this sentence here, this 50-cent, this 50% thing, and the line that we're discussing, which prohibits the city from assessing the applicant any new planning fees, would only kick in after the city had failed to meet its 120-day deadline. Now, if in the ordinary process of doing a application review within 120 days, the city has now some rights to raise fees or require things that cost money, in the ordinary process of that 120-day period, this bill does not change that a bit. That was my understanding and my intent. If that's not what the drafter of the bill thought or intended, then you better speak up, because it's this bill is only designed to address things that are in the arena of what happens if the 120-day period is not met.
I concur.
Okay, Kelly Ross just testified for the record that he concurs with my statement. Does that take care of your concern then?
I believe that it does.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dwyer.
Before he started, Kelly, I'd like to hear what you had to say, what you were going to say about how you would fix it.
Yeah, I was going to react to Phil's concern and say that the intent here is to get at costs that the local government would charge the applicant. And we're not talking about studies that the local government would require an applicant to do. That would be the applicant's liability to do those. I haven't ever heard of a case where the city or county actually goes out and has a study done and pays for it themselves and then tries to charge the applicant. They require that study to be done. They require the applicant to take care of it.
So it's not part of what they do.
Right.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Cease.
I appreciate your comments. Is the language that we have here in the proposed amendments clear? That in fact does that, and it doesn't raise a question, I think, that was raised by the city people. That's the only issue I would
have. Senator Cease, I think what we need to do is step back for just a minute. Legislative Council, I think, being very busy, didn't recognize that what we need to do first is put this language into the dash ones so that it's clear what this language here at the top of these dash twos actually refers to. Because otherwise, we may not adopt the preceding language that gives it the meaning that I was referring to. So I guess what I'd like to do, for clarity first, and then we can work on the, whether there's any policy decisions that we need to vote on. I'd like to move that the dash one amendments at page 6 be deleted and reinserted as stated in these dash twos, so that the first paragraph here replaces lines 5 through 8, and the second paragraph, let's see.
27 through 30.
We got to get
page 7.
27 through 30 on page 7, is that where we're at? Okay, right.
So question, have we accepted the dash one amendments as the base of our proceeding? That's the bill we're working from, is the dash one.
At this point, we have not adopted the dash ones. These motions, or this motion would be to amend the dash ones with the dash twos, so that we can effectively adopt a correct dash one.
Okay.
Is that clear with everybody?
Yeah.
Any objection to that motion? Does clerk have any question about the motion? Do I need to do I need to restate it?
I can get it later.
Do you have any confusion about what we just did? So you can help her. Okay. The motion to replace lines 5 through 8 on the dash 1s with the first paragraph of the dash 2s is adopted without any objection. In the same motion, or similar, whatever, no objection to changing lines 27 through 30 of page 7 of the dash 1s with the second paragraph of the dash 2s is also accepted without objection. All right, now, having amended the dash ones, can I just go ahead and make a motion to adopt the dash one amendments as amended, together with adopting the dash three amendments, which are, they affect different statutes than are referred to in the dash one. So they're okay. Time out for just a second. On page 6 of the dash ones, there was a typed in change at line 21 and 22. I understand there's no objection to those amendments. Phil? Any discussion on the committee? Okay, the same language is found at the very end of the dash ones on page 8. So, with no objection, I'll move that the changes on page 6 and 22, hand engrossed. Let's see, I can say that right. Page 6, lines 21 and 22, hand engrossed dash 1, and lines 12 and 13. Hand engrossed on page 8 of the dash ones, be approved. Any objection? Okay, once again, we've modified the dash ones. Now,
let me ask you, sir, you said lines 12 and 13.
Did I?
That isn't right, is it?
12 and 13 of page 8.
Page 8, okay. All right.
Okay. Now then, we have only before us the dash ones as amended and the dash threes.
You want a motion of both of those or one?
Let's do them one at a time, just for clarity.
Okay, I'll move the dash one.
All right, the dash ones as amended have been moved. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Approved?
I'll move the dash three.
The dash three amendments have been moved. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Amended amended Senate Bill 245 is ready for a motion to be moved to the floor.
Move it to the floor as amended.
Thank you. The Senate Bill 245 as amended by the dash ones and the dash threes has been moved to be sent to the floor. Can the clerk please call the roll?
As amended.
As amended.
McIntyre?
Any time.
Aye.
Hyatt?
Aye.
Cease?
Aye.
Wire?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 245 will go to the floor. Anybody, Senator Cease is ready to carry it. Thank you very much. And with that, we're adjourned.
Yeah.